The crisis in Venezuela is deepening. Food shortages have sparked a wave of riots and looting. Venezuelan security forces are fighting back with tear gas and stun grenades sound here from a demonstration that turned violent in Caracas earlier this month. Hundreds of people have been arrested and at least four have died in the riots. BBC correspondent Will Grant is following this. He's been in Venezuela recently, but joins us now from Havana, Cuba. Will, thanks for being here.
Hi, it's good to be here.
Well, let's start with what is happening now in Venezuela. There are shortages of food, mile-long waits for basic goods, and inflation has reached the triple digits.
Yeah, there's a whole series of things sort of coming together in a perfect storm in Venezuela at the moment. You've got the very high inflation, the rampant inflation you mentioned. You've got the food shortages as the oil price is so low. And of course, Venezuela's economy is so heavily based around its oil exports that when the price drops as low as it has recently, and it's lower for Venezuelan oil than it is for oil on the international market because it's so heavy there, crude, then obviously the rest of the economy is heavily affected. They have to import their food from primarily Colombia and other Latin American nations. That's taken a huge hit. So you have this situation where the subsidized goods that the government guarantees under a lot of its sort of food and welfare programs are very, very scarce. And you have these long queues that you will have seen pictures of, and frustrations are bubbling over. If you add on to that the fact that security in Venezuela is a huge problem, there's a lot of violence, there's a lot of armed people, it's potentially very explosive.
What does that mean for the people who live there, their daily lives?
It's a real struggle. We, while I was in Venezuela, went to some areas that are very traditionally pro-Chavez, or as it were now pro-Maduro, but certainly pro the government. And it was interesting to me to see the extent to which they're abandoning the government. They indeed, in fact, voted in an opposition candidate, which in one particular barrio, shantytown, that we went to, would have been absolutely unthinkable when I lived in Venezuela at the height of Mr. Chavez's power. So it's interesting the extent to which people are frustrated. They're pushing for this recall referendum, but Mr. Maduro absolutely flatly refuses to allow that. But back to your question about what it's like in terms of daily life, it's the fact that government employees are only working 2 days a week. It's the fact that schools are closed on Fridays. The scarcities are hitting the hospitals, that there are power cuts throughout the day. They can't find the right drugs. They can't find the right equipment. It's a real struggle.
Mm-hmm. You spoke to a former army officer who once supported Hugo Chavez. His name is Cleaver Alcala, and here he is speaking through an interpreter.
We need to eliminate the anarchy that has allowed a small group trying to get rich to take hold. They want power for power's sake and are profiting from installing anarchy in Venezuela. But the Venezuelans won't tolerate it.
Will, can you put that into context? What exactly is he arguing for here?
Well, a bit of context about Mr. Alcala first. He's a retired major general and was absolutely at Mr. Chavez's side throughout Hugo Chavez's time in power. There are very few people with the Chavista credentials of retired major general Cleaver Alcala. And to have him turn on Mr. Chavez's successor is definitely interesting. He says, as you heard in that little clip, that that he thinks that they are essentially trying to hold on to power for power's sake, that they're refusing to recognize the electoral institutions of the country. And I obviously asked him about the extent to which the military were key in allowing the Chavez power structures to concentrate power in their hands, to follow one man and one government rather than the constitution of the entire country. He admitted to an extent that that he had been involved in allowing that to happen. Mm. But it now seems that he's urging the military and urging the government to return to the letter of the constitution, if you like.
Well, there is this effort to recall Nicolas Maduro. Obviously, he's not happy about that. He's calling this recall effort fraudulent. What about this relationship with the military, though? Is there a danger that this could devolve into a coup, perhaps, or something much deeper?
Well, I think that because of the way that Hugo Chavez, a military man himself, looked after his top brass, something that Nicolas Maduro has echoed, so they receive better pay and improved conditions. They do get food, whereas the average soldier might be struggling a bit more. The military are well looked after. It's precisely to avoid the possibility of
loyalty.
A military coup.
Yeah.
Exactly. And Mr. Chavez, valued loyalty above all else. I think for the time being, the top brass are loyal to the Chavez government or to the Maduro government, to the government of the Socialist Party of Venezuela. It's more likely that there will be an explosion on the streets, I think, than anything else. And we are seeing an increased incidence of numbers of lootings, tear gas, arrests. You know, it could turn ugly, but it's probably from the streets rather than the military stepping in, I think.
Well, as we said, you are there in Havana. Cuba and Venezuela, of course, have a long history. It was Venezuela that came to Cuba's aid after the collapse of the Soviet Union. What kind of similarities do you see between those two periods of time, between these two countries?
That's right. Once the Soviet Union collapsed, Hugo Chavez's Venezuela was absolutely key to propping up the Cuban Revolution. And I do think the tables have turned. You're right. I think what's happened is that Venezuela is now almost the weaker partner, if you like. The period I was comparing things to was this special period in Cuba, which refers to after the fall of the Berlin Wall and before the arrival of Chavez's oil wealth. Mm. That was a very, very, very difficult time for ordinary Cubans. They couldn't find enough food. There was even a very brief, short-lived uprising against Fidel Castro, which was quite quickly quashed. And so, you know, I saw a variety of echoes between the two moments. And funnily enough, of course, while Venezuela grows further and further away from Washington, we're seeing Havana hosting President Obama. So there does feel like that, you know, the two have almost swapped places. Of course, it's not as simple as that. And the government of Raul Castro remain very, very closely allied to the government of Nicolas Maduro. But certainly on that anecdotal level of on the streets of trying to find enough food, of worrying about what tomorrow might look like, what next week might be involved, that, I think, is where the comparison lies.
Well, and Cuba still relies a lot on Venezuela. Some estimates up to 40% of its trade with Venezuela. What does the crisis there mean for Cuba?
The key way that things have worked is that Venezuela would send crude to Cuba, around 100,000 barrels of oil a day, in return for doctors, teachers, and intelligence services returning to Venezuela. That relationship and that kind of arrangement looks like it's going to last. But in terms of who's receiving the better deal, for a long time it was assumed that Cuba was receiving the better deal. It's getting all this crude in return for human capital. Mm. Now, if you total up what the provision of doctors and medical services and health services around the shanty towns of Venezuela would be to the Venezuelan economy, perhaps the people who are benefiting the most are the Venezuelans. It is an arrangement that is absolutely steeped in the relationship between Hugo Chavez and Fidel Castro, and who knows where it will be within 2 to 5 years as both countries, you know, go through changes. But if you speak to officials and the governments in both countries, they're adamant that it's going nowhere, that this is the most important relationship, that while Havana is rebuilding relationship with Washington, D.C., that's not its priority, that it will remain faithful to the sort of socialist countries in the region, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, it's an interesting time.
And Will, I wonder if it was Hugo Chavez's government that propped up Cuba in the 1990s, who will come to Venezuela's rescue?
Just an excellent question. And I think, you know, I don't think there's a very clear answer at the time being. One might have suggested Brazil was there for them, but of course there's huge changes going on there with Dilma Rousseff no longer in power, at least for the time being. One might have suggested the international community, but certainly Nicolas Maduro isn't prepared to declare the sorts of states of need and emergency in various sectors in order for international bodies to step in with support. He's simply not really prepared to accept anything that comes through the prism of Washington for the time being either, and I can't see that changing. China is a possibility, of course, and they are trying to negotiate debt relief from China. But all of these, for the time being, are very, very short-term measures. And I think the only real thing that could come to Venezuela's rescue at the moment is a higher oil price. Mm.
The BBC's Will Grant speaking to us from Havana, Cuba. Will, thanks very much.
You're very welcome.